The sun dipping below the horizon a week ago was the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, which also began the high holy days, of which I realize we may have to work a bit harder to clarify the meaning now that an increasing number of states are legalizing marijuana. These high holy days are also known as Yamim Noraim, days of awe. These are days of feeling awe for life, feeling wonder. In this season, we're reminded that we all play three roles. First, we've all been wronged, whether we were hurt by exclusion or by rude behavior, or our life was tragically altered by the sins of others or any other experience, we've all been wronged. Second, we are all transgressors who are being granted permission to take part. We have all done harm to others. We've all got a bit of the outcast or sinner in us. And third, we all have the spark of the divine and ability to make helpful judgments and efforts going forward. You can call this participating in God's holy court and beloved community. How beautiful and wise to recognize that we all play multiple roles in the drama of life. And whether referring to the wrongs we ourselves commit or the wrongs done to us, we know the burdens add up. And we benefit from the regularization of this process of atonement. Or at least that's the concept. The challenges and blessings of real deal religion include that we have to integrate our real deal thoughts and feelings and not just the ones we are supposed to have. And things are not always as clear-cut as we would like. Many times we hold narrow conceptions. Constricted views of life tell us that money makes the person. Constricted views of life tell us that job, title, or address, or type of car determines self-worth. Constricted views of life tell us that just going through the motions doesn't affect anybody else. And when we settle in to constricted views of life, the shades of gray can deepen to the point of blinding us to what is right and what is wrong. How do you know what to do, what's right and what's wrong? Rabbi Josh Bolton is a good friend of mine. He's a rabbi at Hillel over at Penn. Josh gives the Keeping It Real gift when he reflects on having interviewed approximately 2,000 millennials, people born in the 80s and 90s, of which he is one. And hearing Rabbi Josh's writing, keep in mind that he communicates with words to resonate with his audience, college students, young adults. Josh says, I would describe the millennial assessment of existential reality as thus. We are moved by the poetry of an arc within the moral universe, and we really hope it bends towards justice, but we are just on a giant rock floating through the quiet cosmos, and wisdom might as well be a fart, considering the unimaginable expanses of time and space. And the only thing that could possibly obligate me is the socioeconomics of my family, and not the will of Hashem, creator of the universe. Hashem is a word used to refer to God, because God is a word that is so holy. The word Hashem literally means the name, and it's also used for this purpose. This is the season for listening for and discerning Hashem's will or intention for our lives. And as we know from our own experiences, listening for Hashem's voice, or our own soul conscience, you might call it, it could be easier said than done. Listening for Hashem's voice can be like being on hold for a long time where they have the annoying music and keep running the announcements, or having a poor connection. I can't hear you, in and out, or getting cut off and having to call back many times. You might be asking, is this the best number I have for you? Is there a better number? In the Jewish tradition, many times, deep wisdom and Hashem are referred to almost synonymously. So we're wrestling with this question of how do we find the wisdom, Hashem's will, to know what's right and wrong? It is not always easy. If it were, more people would do it all the time. A second century BCE Jewish scribe and sage named Jesus, son of Sirach, said, "At first, wisdom will lead you along steep and winding paths, and you will tremble with fear. You'll be tempted to abandon her. You will need all your strength to remain at her side. But eventually, wisdom will bring you to a place of joy and gladness, and she'll reveal her secrets to you." So how do we find that? How do you find the wisdom to know what's right and wrong? Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, a spiritual teacher of the early 19th century, a Hasidic leader — Breslov is now of Ukraine — Rabbi Nachman of Breslov said it like this: God takes a long journey to be here with the people on the earth, and God is working with us almost as if trying to give holy hints, manifesting wisdom, holy hints. And Rabbi said, these hints will be available especially to those with a deepened consciousness and awareness. So what do you do to open that consciousness and awareness to see those holy hints wherever they manifest? I think at this time, this season, it's good to lift up that we can be looking. You know, you got to feel it, see it, hear it, anything you can get, right? If you're with a mentor or a wise person, they might give you that holy hint of what's right or wrong for you. If you're rereading a holy text, you may get a hint. Being quiet on your porch, paying attention to the exquisite taste of peaches cut up on your cereal, watching stand-up comedy on any show or in person, something the kids say while you're not listening to the kids, or your crazy, crazy thought. This is the one, you know, you could be, they have, that is the most crazy, crazy thought I have. That could be the best hint you get all month on what is right or wrong if you pay attention. Your heart will tell you. Could be when a lot of us have a practice in the last years of singing, "When I breathe in peace. When I breathe out love. Breathe in. Breathe out." You might sing that song with regularity, and that might open you up to get the hint. And as we listen and find those hints of holy wisdom, somehow we gain a capacity in that whole process to feel deeper and wider than our more regular ways of sensing the world or our more regular ways of making sense of
the world.
A holy hint may help you realize that many times forgiving yourself is the primary spiritual purpose for you at that time. If you go around thinking, I'm not doing well enough by my friends, I'm not doing well enough by my people around me, my job, I'm not doing well enough by my family and neighbors, and that just loop, is that your loop? Well, very possible you're being too hard on yourself, and these high holy days, this could be a whisper from Hashem saying, forgive yourself. It's okay. Please. Forgive yourself. There's a Jewish tradition that happens many times. Go to a body of water, many times a river, with breadcrumbs representing sin. People throw the crumbs for the river to take them away, to let go of the burden of the wrongdoings. Maybe you need to throw the crumbs of being too hard on yourself. It can be like that. Hints of the holy can help you do what Barbara said. Call our elected officials and say the funding of our public schools, especially in Philly, is unacceptably low. We need a better way. You may realize that you're called to atone in social wrongs, including brutal endemic poverty in our beloved city. The Inquirer read, if you haven't read Thursday's Inquirer, you must. We've had for many years, of the 10 biggest cities, we have the highest poverty rate. In the last couple of years, all 9 other cities are going in a better direction. We're going backwards. It's violent poverty affecting so many of us, so many of our brothers and sisters. It's unacceptable. We are part of POWER, an interfaith organizing organization. On Thursday, September 27th, we're going to City Hall to give public witness in favor of $15 an hour living wage for city contracts and subcontracts. That could be, and it might not be for you, but it might be what Hashem is asking you to do. Today we're going down to the ICE office, some of us, there's still the practice of separating the families, regardless of what the policy says. The unacceptable separations of family and immigration is happening. It has not been made right. But listen, what's in your heart? What is Hashem calling to you to do? Now, I want to make one more point when we're talking about engaging together in these cycles of atonement. And that is, it can be scary to admit wrong. It can be scary to forgive. If we are just on a giant rock floating through the quiet cosmos with unimaginable expanses of space and time, what's going to hold you and make you safe if you go through this vulnerable act of atonement? I think many times it's vulnerable to do this stuff. Well, first, this is a reason we do it together in community. So look around, feel this place. Feel the people in your life who care about you. I think odds go down when you do it in solitary confinement emotionally. Do it with people. Together, each person can figure out the supports that work best for them. You might realize God is there for me. I can lean in and count on God being my partner in this. You might realize for you, life is there. We are a part of this magnificent flow of life from the first time the cells appeared till now. How does it keep going? It's there as a strength for you. You might find breath as giving you strength to go through the vulnerable act. You might find beloved community. You might find them all being an important support to you to have a little more strength and courage and willingness to go through. The poet Robin Becker tenderly remembers growing up in Philadelphia and celebrating the high holy days. Robin cherished walking with her father and his father to the synagogue for the new year. During later years, Robin's grandfather was frail, needed to hold hands, lean on a shoulder. On the walk to the synagogue, Robin's father would say to her grandfather, "We're almost there, Pop. Just a few more blocks. We're almost there." We often need to hold hands, lean on a shoulder, and we are almost there to a place of forgiveness. Coming back together in shared humanity. We may be limping and frail, and we are almost there to a place where we can put down our fearful shields of separateness and open up our souls to the glory of being at one with one another and the spirit of life. We are almost there with at-one-ment. Blessings be.